Perek, we're in Mesirat Yesharim Perek Kaf, the Mishkal HaChassidus. Ma shetzarich lev'er ata hu Mishkal HaChassidus hazeh, hu inyan ikari me'od me'od. He doesn't waste words in Mesirat Yesharim. If he says it's ikari me'od me'od, this is a very essential concept that we're going to learn. What is the definition of being in Chassidus? V'teida be'emet, shezuya malacha hakasheh shebechassidus. But we're trying to figure out now to find the balance in Chassidus, to understand exactly where Chassidus applies and where it doesn't apply, is a very challenging understanding. Ki dakuto rav, it's very fine. V'yesh v'yetze b'davar hazeh k'nisa gadola. We're talking about someone who is on the level of Chassidus. He still has a yetze hara. Not to forget, even on high levels, the yetze hara still has. In fact, sometimes the yetze hara is more powerful at this time. Sometimes not. But the yetze hara is looking. I heard a very nice interpretation. What does it mean that the higher a person, that the greater a person, different levels, the higher a person gets and the greater the Yetzer Hara is? So I heard once an interpretation like this, that when a person is more base, then his Yetzer Hara is more base. And when he grows in Avodat Hashem, it's not that the Yetzer Hara goes away, just it affects him on more refined points. So for example, when a person's like totally not connected, then the idea of Shmiras HaLoshon is just a non-topic by him. The idea of not hitting his friends, or that would be his topic. Then as he becomes more refined, he definitely wouldn't hit his friends, but he would make fun of his friends. And then as he gets more refined, then he definitely wouldn't make fun of his friend, but he's careful about avak lashon hara with his friend. So it's not that yetzer hara doesn't exist with him anymore. It does exist. Just as he grows, the yetzer hara grows, meaning in a positive way. As he grows in Avodat Hashem, the Yetzer Hara also grows with him and hits him in more refined places, always showing him where he needs to be working on by attacking him in different places. The Yetzer Hara wasn't attacking you with Avak Lashon Hara. The Yetzer Hara wasn't attacking a person with Avak Lashon Hara when he wasn't religious, because there it was so out of his realm. So the fact that a person's now like battling with Avak Lashon Hara, that shows him what a high level he's reached. So now, Baruch Hashem, his challenge with the Yetzer Hara is a much, much more refined thing. So on this level of Chassidus, it's very hard because the person's keeping all of Halacha. He's keeping all of Halacha because he's tzaddik already. And he's even like thinking beyond the Halacha and doing things for the sake of Hashem. So Yetzer Hara is much more refined. Al-Kain nimtzeit sakanato atzuma. And therefore it's much more dangerous. Because when it's the Yetzer Hara of eating kosher, eating non-kosher, it's obvious. It's good versus bad. When it's the Yetzer Hara of speaking Lashon Hara or not speaking Lashon Hara, it's obvious. It's good versus bad. But on the level of Chassidus, but the Yetzer Hara is much more refined, and it's not so clear that it's actually the Yetzer Hara, and therefore he has much more room to come in, because part of the Yetzer Hara's koach is, like the angel said to Yaakov, Lama zeh tishal shmi. In other words, that's his name. His name is, why are you asking? I want to remain cloudy, I want to remain mysterious, I want to remain that you can't tell exactly who I am. When it's clearly bad, then we have the power to say no. But it's not clearly bad, then it's harder for us to say no, because it is bad, and maybe it's not bad, maybe I can do it, maybe it's not a problem. Until we're able to clearly say, this is asur, this is not allowed, then we can label it as outside of my realm, and then I can say no to it. But as long as it's clear in that area, sakana atzuma. Ki harbe devarim tovim, yuchal hayetzer lerachek ki'ilu hem ra'im. The Yetzer is able to, unfortunately, confuse us, and even things which we should be taking on, he makes them look like they're bad, and we push them away. And he can also confuse us in this area, and things which are actually bad, he makes them look like they're good. One example that we've repeated many times in this area is when a person grows in Avodat Hashem and he takes on certain things upon himself, sometimes he starts judging other people not favorably, because he says, oh, they're not doing what I'm doing. Now that's the Yetzer Hara there, meaning, yes, it's good that you've taken on extra practices and you're doing more than you need to do. But does that justify looking at a person who is a tzaddik, who's not doing your humras, as someone who's second rate and not judging him favorably? Not at all. But that's the way the Yetzer Hara is an entry. Like, because you're on the level of Chassidus and you're so refined, then the Yetzer Hara could come in and say, ah, you see, you're better than everyone else. Everyone else is not good. It's not worthwhile. And then that could even lead to like disregarding those people, not being dan chavshus, because that, you know, the definition of dan chavshus is that the person is a rosha, you don't have to do that, and they're already rosha because they're not doing what I'm doing. You know, you don't know how far these things could go. So dafka on the level of chassidus, where a person is more refined, the Yetzer Hara has an entry there because he feels like he's a tzaddik and doing tzaddik oriented chassid and doing chassid oriented things, and therefore the Yetzer Hara has entry. Uve'emet shelo yuchal ish la'atzliach l'mishkal hazeh אלא בשלושה דברים. If you want, wish to be well balanced in your avodas Hashem, these are the three things that you need. Number one, שיהיה ליבו ישר שבלבבות. שלא תהיה פנייתו אלא לעשות נחת רוח לפניו יתברך, ולא לזולת זה כלל, ושיהיה מעיין על מעשיו עיון גדול, וישתדל לתקנם על פי תכלית זה. ואחר כל זאת, יהיה משליך יהבו על השם. So let's listen to the three things and try and break them down very clearly. Point number one. יהיה ליבו ישר שבלבבות. A person was given a gift by Hashem, that he made us yashar. Hema bikshu cheshbonot rabim. Man seeks out all kunsim and philosophies as to why he should do other things. But there's an inner yashrus that we have. You can sense it by, sometimes, a sense of guilt where something is wrong. And you have this inner sense of, I probably shouldn't do this. And if a person, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't listen to it, then he'll not have the ability to pay attention to it anymore. The guilt that a person can feel is such that if you pay attention to it and you say, that's wrong, I'm not going to do that, then the guilt, he's a little shy, the guilt. He's shy. And if you listen to him and he says, oh, I have a voice, okay, then I'll tell you again that what you're doing is inappropriate. But he's shy, so if you ignore him once, then he doesn't come up to you and tell you again that you've done something wrong. But it's worthwhile paying attention to him because he's going to be your moral compass and your guide to know what's correct. He's your yashu, your inner yashu that you have. If you're not harsh with him and you listen to him, you give him a voice. So that's an inner yashu that Hashem gives us. And to do good things as well. There's an innate goodness that we can sense if it's coming from a good place or not. So in order to be successful, you have to tune into the inner yashrus that man has. Flip side of that is, שלא תהיה פנייתו אלא לעשות נחת רוח לפניו יתברך ולא לזולת לך. You can't have any other ulterior motive. The first point is, you're being yashar, you're not trying to fool yourself. The second point is, you have to make sure that you have no ulterior motives for what you're doing. You're not doing it for honor, you're not doing it for money, you're not doing it for showing up some other friend. Everything you're doing is purely for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and check within yourself, where is it coming from? And there are certain tests that you can do to check. We gave an example last week of one, where you'd be equally happy that someone else would do it. Because it's not about you doing it, it's about the Kiddush Hashem taking place. If there's a mitzvah to do, you'd be equally happy for them to do the mitzvah. It doesn't have to be using the mitzvah. That's an example of a test you can do to check is it about me, is it about Hashem? And the third point, this is what we opened in Sefer Shalom with, that the person has to do cheshbon nefesh and check with him what he's doing. And once he's following the yashur and he's making sure he doesn't have an ulterior motive, everything that you do, you check. Does it fit into that category? And you don't just assume, I reached that level once, I'm okay, I'm set for life. Rather, in the same way we did a cheshbon nefesh at the beginning on the level of being a tzaddik, to make sure we're not doing averus, and we are doing mitzvahs, also on the level of chassidus, the person has to be constantly checking his actions, is that l'shem shemayim, or is that to show off? And the person goes through his day and checks his different actions or his speech that he's saying, and he checks, why did I tell my chavrusa, oh, that's in the Gemara in Chulin. Why did you mention that? Why? Did you have something new you wanted to bring from Chulin? Or you just wanted your chavrus to know that you've learned a chulin once, or you didn't really learn a chulin, but you heard someone quote chulin once, and you want to show off as if you're a chulin once. Why did you mention? And when you're on the level of you're constantly checking your speech, and you're checking where does it come from, why am I saying it, you can start to identify, do you have an ulterior motive here, or is it l'shem shamayim? V'achar kol zot, and even if you have a straight heart, and you're doing without any ulterior motive, and you are doing a cheshbon nefesh, yeh mashlich yavor l'Hashem. Be careful not to get arrogant now. Rather realize that it only depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's enabling you to be successful. Are you able to be successful? You can't do it by yourself. A person can put in maximum hishtadlus, and then Hashem decides. There's no guarantee that you're going to put in maximum hishtadlus and it will work out. There is a guarantee that if you put in maximum hishtadlus, that Hashem will then set you on the path that's best for you. Maybe not what you define as best for you. Maybe not what you would define as most pleasant or comfortable, but he will set you on the path that's best for you, even if it's a hard path that Hashem has sent you. So therefore, after putting in the maximum effort, Yishlach Yahavoh al Hashem, hand it over to Hashem. Sha'az Ya'amer bo, and about someone like that it says, Ashrei Adam Oz Lo Bach Lo Yimna Tov Lo Chim B'Tamim. Fortunate is the one who acknowledges that the strength comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem won't hold back any good from them because they're going in a pure way. They're doing the best they can do in a pure way, in an authentic way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will set them on the path that's best for them. Amnam, im echad mehatanaim ha'ele yechaser lo, if a person isn't following his inner yashrus, or if a person is trying to, but there's ulterior motives that are pulling him off, or a person is doing everything correctly, but he's not checking, so to make sure that everything he's doing is in line with these things, lo yagia el hashlemus, he won't reach perfection. The karov hu likashel v'lipo, he's more likely to stumble. Tahainu, or im hakavana lo tia mufcheret v'zakha, if he's not doing it for the sake of Hashem, or im yitrashel min ha'iyun b'mash yuchal la'ayen, or is not investing enough understanding of what he's supposed to be doing. Or im achar kol zeh lo yitle bitchono v'kono. I just realized I made a mistake. I want to redact what I said. The three things were, point number one, what I said before as one and two are really all one. Right, so let me just say it again. The three things actually are, a person should have a clear mind and have an inner yashrus, which means the flip side is not to have any ulterior motives. That was all one. Right, those two are one. Point number two was that a person should constantly be checking his actions to ensure that he's doing everything correctly. And all his actions and his speech fit into that. And point number three was the emunah that he's trusting in Hashem. That was the third. Right, that's what we see now that he's saying. But if you're doing all of those three, the hainu, even if your kavana is not purely for the sake of Hashem, point number one, or point number two, a person doesn't look into and invest his understanding in everything that he needs to be doing, or point number three, he doesn't put his trust in Hashem. So even though he is acting with the Asherah, and he is checking himself, but he thinks it's because he's doing it. He's saying, look at my success in my avodas Hashem. It's almost impossible that he won't fall. Because he's not totally in the world of Hashem. He's in his own world. Or he's not aware fully. Or he doesn't have purity of heart. So he won't reach it. He'll be great. He'll be very, very great. Now we're on the level of Hasidus. He'll be great. He's past tzaddik. But he won't be with Shlemus. He won't have reached the perfection. Ach im shloshtam yishmo karoi, tmimut ha-machshava. Interesting, he repeats it a third time. But if, I guess it's like helping us to review this point again and again, so it'll be so clear to us. But if these three points are guarded appropriately, meaning number one, tmimut ha-machshava, that you're doing it just for the sake of Hashem, iyun, and you do research to understand what does Hashem want from me, and you're checking in your actions if they're in line, u-bitachon, now he's like giving each one one word. That's very good just in general for if you ever, from an educational model, if you're ever trying to explain something to people, you have to use a lot of words to explain it, to give one mashal, to give another mashal, to make the point really clear. But at the end, you have to say it in one word. So when they go away, they can say, oh yeah, he spoke about machshava, iyun, bitachon. That was it. What does machshava mean? What do you mean by machshava? He meant, the Mitzvah Shara meant, that it means that you can't have any ulterior motives as if you're doing it for the sake of Hashem. And when he said Iyun, what did he mean by Iyun? It meant that you have to look into the topic clearly, make sure you understand it properly, and check within your own actions and your own speech that that's what you're doing. And what did he mean when he said Bitachon? It meant that you can't presume it's your success is because of you. Rather, you have to make sure that you realize it's only Hashem enabling you to be successful. You put in your effort, it's Hashem. So he beautifully, the Mr. Sharm, explained the ideas in more breadth, and then he gave them each a word. Tzimus machshava, iyun, betochon. Az yelech betach be'emet, ve'lo ya'aneh lo kol ra. V'hu davar sh'amar Chana, v'nevuata lato, Chana said in her nevuah, raglei chasidav v'yishmo. Hashem will guard the path, the legs, literally, but the path of those who are chasidim. And what does it mean to be a chasid? Those three things. You're doing it for the sake of Hashem, you're checking the order of your actions, your speech is in line with Hashem, and you trust in Hashem. So lo ya'azov et chasidav le'olam nishmaru. Hinei mash tzerech la'avinu, ki ein ladun b'divrei ha-chasidus al marehen ha-rishon. Don't be superficial and just look at the external expressions of chasidus. Ela tzerech la'ayen u'lehitbonen ad heichan todot ha-ma'aseh magiyot. You have to pay attention what the outcome is, what the long-term consequences are going to be of acting in a way of chasidus. Sometimes there are certain things which you do which seem to you to be a good deed, seems to you like you're being righteous by doing them, you're being holy by doing them. That's what it looks like initially, and maybe it is initially. You'll realize that if I do take that practice on, the long-term effect is going to be detrimental. And therefore, I'm going to pass. It's not worth it. Let's say, for example, a person realizes that his speech is such that he often allows himself to go off to a speech which is inappropriate. He realizes it. So he wants to put a boundary around himself to make sure he doesn't say inappropriate things. And he takes upon himself a tannis dibur, where he'll only speak words of Torah, words of tefillah, and essential, necessary, polite things. Like someone says hello to him, he says hello back, just like to be rude. But other than that, he doesn't speak anything. And that's it. It's a very good thing to do. As long as he's going to remain like emotionally sound, it's a very good thing to do. A person's going to be purely in Torah, kulo kodesh. But what about when his parents call? And they want to just schmooze. They turn to chat. And he's not going to speak to them. And what if his rabbi comes over to him? Outside of Seder, he's just like schmoozing with him. He's like, how you doing? What's going on? And he's like, what's mm-mm? So he writes a note. I'm on a Tanis Dibble. And he shows his rabbi. So the end result is that his parents will pull him out of yeshiva early. Because they'll say, you've gone crazy. You've flipped out. You're not being normal. And then that's not going to be good. And even his connection with his rabbi won't be healthy. Because the rabbi will say, back to him, and then that'll be it. You know, like the healthy development of a kesher with a rabbi and a Talmud won't develop. And if he does that once he gets married also, it's not going to be good for a shalom bayis. And if he does that towards his children, it's not going to be good for the healthy development. So it's something which inherently is very good. He's only speaking words of Torah. But unless he's on the level of the Gra, that he knows how to answer any question that anyone asks him by using psukim, because he knows like all the psukim and you know, hopefully people understand what he's saying when he uses those half psukim to answer them. It's likely that it's going to cut him off emotionally from people that he needs to be connected to. And that could cause him to like feel disconnected, and even Torah he won't have a connection with. So in acts of chassidus, where you're taking something on more than is the essential, you have to think, what's the far-reaching effect? If I do that, I see the initial goodness in it. But what will it lead to? What will be the end result? What will be the long-lasting effect? And only if that's worthwhile, then. I remember clearly once, when I was in Shana Bet, there was someone in Shana Aleph who made a decision, which I was very happy that he made that decision. And he went to speak to his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Friedman, and Rav Friedman said he shouldn't do it. And I was shocked, because this is someone who was taking something on, which is a good thing. Like, why not? So I went to speak to Rav Friedman about it. I said, I know this boy wanted to do this good thing, and the Rav said, suggested him not to. So Rav Friedman said to me, like, for him, it would be too much of a jump too far. For him to take that on, that's not naturally where he is now. And for him to do that already now would mean that he probably would renege on it at some point, because it would be too much for him. And then that could set into motion, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Chas v'shalom, it could lead to a person not even keeping Ikar Halach. That was Rav Friedman's like recognition of the far-reaching effect that it could have. Whereas I was looking from a superficial, someone wants to grow, grow! Take on more things! That's the best you could do. But Rav Friedman was his Rebbe, and he knew where he was holding. And he saw that, no, for him, that would be too much of a jump right now. It won't be sustainable. It will lead to a fall, and who knows where that's going to end up. Brilliant. That was brilliant. I realized like how Avodah Hashem is not just take on whatever you can. Rather, the person has to be wise in the taking on. That's what it says. The person has to recognize what are the consequences going to be. What's the long-reaching effect going to be of any particular hidur, chassidus, that the person wants to take? Because sometimes initially it looks like it's good. But the long-term effects might be bad, and then it's worth abusing it. To be a chassid is not to do it. Because the long-term effects is what's more important to you than the short-term effects. It might be b'shogek. You know? He's trying to do good. He's not a chote intentionally. He's trying to take on good practice. So it's only b'shogek. But you can't call that a chosid, because a real chosid would think, what are the long-reaching effects, and not just take it on in tzizut. An example that we have of this is Gedalia ben Achikam. Kelui le'ineinu shmitnei rov chasidoto shelo ledunet yishmo lakaf chova or shelo lekabel lashon hara. Amar Yochanan ben Kareach, Sheker Ata Dover al Yishmael. Gedalia was the last leader we had in Tanakh, in Eretz Yisrael, before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And what caused the destruction? Well, there are many, many things. But specifically in this part, he was told that you should know that Yishmael is coming to kill you. It's a plot against you. And he said, that's Lashon Hara, I won't listen. Now the halacha is that you're supposed to be choshesh. You're supposed to say, I don't believe it, but I am choshesh, and therefore I'm going to take precautions. But because he said, no, it's sheker, I'm not listening to a word of what's being said. Which is, in a sense, it's chassidus. If I don't even want to be choshashim, I want to say he's a tzaddik and everyone's a tzaddik and everything's good, I'm not even going to take protections around myself in this matter. Magaram, what did that cause, that his extra hidur of not even wanting to have the chashash? Garam shemetu, the Gedaliah died, from Gedaliah. The nifrezu Yisrael, and the Jewish people went into exile. It's not only because of him, obviously. There was many, many things that preceded it. But that was the last straw. That was what the last thought that we had holding us in Eretz Yisrael. The kava gacharatana nishara. And the last remaining coals that we had that could have kept us going was extinguished. Ukva yichesek atzuv elav harigat anashim asher nehergu ki ilu hargam hu. And the Torah says, Sefer Yirmiyahu says, that he killed people, which we know he didn't kill. But it's associating him with the murder, attributing the murder to him, because his extra level of chassidus caused their death. Et kol pigrei ha'anashim asher hika biyad Gedaliahu. He didn't kill them. He caused the gallows because he was being extra righteous. Habayit hasheni gam hu charav al yedei chassidus kazeh asher lo nishkal mishkal tzedek. The famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa is the same story. Savur rabbanon lekaruvri. At the end of the story, once the Romans sent a korban to the Beit HaMikdash, and there was a mum placed in it, which was a mum not according to the Goyim, but was a mum according to Am Yisrael. And there was a tzaddik called Zachariah ben Avkula. And he said, we're not allowed to offer it up. We can't bring this korban. Yomru ba'alei mumim krevim legavim mizbeach. Because there's a chashash that people will say that you're allowed to offer up a korban which has a mum. Savur lemikrete. So they wanted to just wipe it out. Amar, meaning the one who brought it. Amar lehem, Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkula, no, you can't kill him. You can't kill the one who put the mum on the animal. Because if you kill him, maybe people will say, Matil mum bekodshim yahareg. If someone causes a mum in a korban, he has to be killed. So what happened? In the meantime, that individual went and told the Romans, the Jews are not bringing the korban. Benkach or benkach. While the righteousness of Zachariah ben Avkulos was being debated whether they should, whether they shouldn't, this individual, this Rasha, Otor Rasha, v'hilshin et Yisrael, ba'a keisar v'chriv et Yerushalayim. That's what Yochanan said, anevatinuto shel Rabbi Zachariah hecheriva et beiteinu v'sarfa et heichaleinu. It was him, it wasn't him, he was a tzaddik. But he's having an extra level of chashash. He was concerned. And another more modern day story where the same thing happened was, I don't know if you know this story, but the story of the Lamed Hay. Do you know the story of the 35 soldiers? When in Gush Etzion, there were four small moshavim, kibbutzim, moshavim. Three were religious, one was not religious. And they were holding strong, even though the Jordanians were attacking them. And 35 soldiers were sent to protect them. They'd run out of food. They ran out of all the tanks that were coming were being hijacked. And they sent from the via Beit Shemesh, not via Yerushalayim, but they found the back way via Beit Shemesh. They sent 35 soldiers with weapons and with food and with medical aid. And as they were walking to go, there was an old shepherd that saw them. And they saw that he saw them. And they were debating, like, should we or shouldn't we, like, kill him? Or tie him up? Let him be. He went up to the hills. He told the Arabs that there are Jews walking here. Arab villagers came down. It was a terrible battle. They fought like lions with strength and gvura, but they lost. The numbers were impossible. And they were all killed. I don't know if you've ever heard the continuation of the story, but it's pretty amazing that when the truth is that where their bodies were was within our borders, but we didn't know that. And only later, when they found their bodies, then Rabbi Ari Levin did a Goral Agra, the famous Goral Agra that Rabbi Ari Levin did, where each body part that was brought to him, he opened up a Tanakh with this in a special Kabbalistic way, certain amount of time, certain amount of letters, certain amount of countings, and was able to identify each body who it was through doing that. Either way, that's another example of like when we have extra righteousness and we're being extra kind. In these cases, it was a chashash. In the first case, it was a chashash of not. It was he was extra strict not to be choshesh in a time when you're halachically allowed to be choshesh. In Rabbi Zachariah's example, it was someone was taking on their own gezeira, that people might say that one who puts a mum in an animal is chayav misa, and Yochanan attributed the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash to Rabbi Zachariah. He didn't do anything wrong, but he did because he didn't have the mishka, he didn't have the balance. It's not good to always be a tzaddik. Al ti tzaddik harbe. It's not always good to be righteous if you haven't thought where that's going to lead to. Meaning, so just to clarify, it's always good to be good. It's always good to be righteous. But one has to take into account what are the far-reaching effects. And if the eventual chilul Hashem that will take place is greater than the kiddush Hashem that will take place, then you must let it pass. Ah, but you want to take on more and you want to be a righteous? Sometimes the Sheval Taseh is greater than the Shkum Aseh. And I know it doesn't feel as exciting. And you want to take on more and you want to do more good things and there's this drive to be active and do. But if the reason you're doing it is for Hashem, then sometimes what you need to do is not to. If a, more of a Chilul Hashem will take place. Harei lecha she'ein ladzun b'chasidut ha'ma'aseh asher hu sham levad. And therefore when you're learning the balance, you're learning how to evaluate, don't just look at the initial action that you're doing. Is that a good thing or not a good thing? Tzarich lifnot ko v'ko. But rather, look at the far, right? Chazal says by ko v'ko of Moshe Rabbeinu, he looks through all the future generations. You have to look through all the future generations, like what's going to be the end result of this? L'kol ha-tzadadim, sh'yuchal secha adam lirot, you know? As much as we're not Moshe Rabbeinu who with Nevuah can see who the future generations are going to be of this individual he was killing. But with what you're able to look at with the intelligence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, think of all the far-reaching possible effects that could take place. Ad she'adun be'emet eizeh yichsha. So you can see with your mind what truly is going to create more of a Kiddush Hashem. Ha'asiyah, by doing it, or ha'prisha, or sometimes, even though it's not as exciting for us, but to step back. Okay, sure.